In an era when people are reduced to partisan bickering and squabble over the smallest of matters and never achieve any agreement on anything, we are here to provide a new light in a dark world of journalism. We are the Bipartisan with Riley Lauterbach and Hannah Albor.
Welcome back to the Bipartisan Podcast, your independent source for news, fun, and reform. I am your left-leaning host, Hannah Albor.
And I'm your right-leaning host, Riley Lauterbach.
You can find us on Anchor and Stitcher, as well as most other platforms. If you're listening on Anchor, try to send us a message or a voicemail, and we'll try to put it in their next show. If you're interested in learning more about us, check out our new website for updates, schedule, and more at sites.google.com/view/bppodcast.com. Check us out on Twitter at BipartisanPodC1. And if you can, support us on Patreon for a lot of cool perks at patreon.com/bipartisanpodcast. And if you're interested in sponsoring us, be sure to call or email today. And with that, let's get started on our top five stories.
All right. Hannah, you want to read this first one for us?
Yeah, so first we're starting off with our first commercial space flight, or maybe not. So Virgin Galactic sent a ship into space and it arrived at the edge of our atmosphere. But according to Bloomberg.com, there is a lot of controversy over whether or not the atmosphere actually ends at that point. There is no legal definition of where the atmosphere ends, so a lot of this whole contention kind of revolves around who sets the boundary where. It's kind of an arbitrary one. So Riley, how do you think we can minimize that level of unknowing?
I have no clue. Like, it's something that's not clearly defined and something nobody's really taken a step to clearly define till recently. It's like, it's not necessarily a story that doesn't matter, but it's a story that's kind of inconsequential wherever they end up setting it, really.
Yeah, I think that this whole idea of space tourism is really cool. And honestly, I don't really think it's a big idea as to where it ends or not. I'm just really excited to see how this technology moves forward.
Yeah, I think the more exciting takeaway is that we're starting to get to commercial ideas of spaceflight. Where they end up setting this boundary doesn't really matter, but the fact that there's steps being taken to get more people out into space and make this more of a normal thing than an occasional occurrence is nice, because I doubt we'll see Mars in our lifetime, but it means they're taking more steps to get there eventually.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to see the Earth from that atmospheric point, but right now it costs about $250,000. So it might be a good couple years before we're able to afford that as normal people.
Nah, just win the lottery, right?
Oh, yeah. Just simple.
It's that easy. All right. Our next story is about how courts have ruled Obamacare unconstitutional. And a lot of more left-leaning states are starting to protest this and want to get this repealed. So, Hannah, what do you think about this new development?
I am outraged. Right? Okay, so here's my take on it, which is a very, very left-leaning take, but that's kind of what you're all here for, is that point of contention. So I think that the Republicans know they're not going to be able to put this through Congress, and so because of that, they're just going to take it to the lower-level courts and try to fight it out in the Supreme Court, because Donald Trump now has nominated two judges to the Supreme Court, and he knows they'll take his side, and so they're just trying to take healthcare away from thousands, if not millions, of Americans, which is not a good idea, because as America, we should all try to help each other, no matter whether or not you're a Democrat or a Republican, or you're wealthy or you're not. I think we should all be trying to help each other and make sure that America stays healthy, because our workforce is very dependent on people being able to work. And if you're sick, you cannot work. So I honestly don't know why people don't want healthcare coverage for the majority of Americans. Riley, come at me.
All right. So, Hannah, I will agree with you on one thing. The fact that they're ruling this unconstitutional, personally, I don't view this as unconstitutional. I think Obamacare is a horrible idea. I don't think it works. I don't think it will work. But, I mean, to get it removed by calling it unconstitutional, that's a huge stretch. Like, it's not unconstitutional. But I do think Obamacare is an awful idea. Giving free healthcare to people only encourages less and less work. We saw with Obamacare that we ran into the same problem we did with food stamps, where a lot of people are actively encouraged not to work because benefits and things like that are covered. And Obamacare just is not the best option because it also takes more taxpayer money to fund this. But to call it unconstitutional and get it removed that way, that's not the right way to go about it. It ends up causing further division. It's not the right way to go about it, even though I think Obamacare should be removed. I don't think this is the right move on the Republicans' part to get it removed.
Yeah, so we can talk about our views on Obamacare if you want to, because honestly, I think that the argument that it causes people to not work just shows how America is very black and white on this idea. Like, either you work and you're able to afford healthcare, or you don't, and you have to rely on the government. Like, relying on the government is not a bad thing, but also, if you are working a job that pays you minimum wage, you should be able to afford healthcare. So it's just showing, by people not working, that healthcare costs way too much in our country and it covers way too little. Like, my family pays a lot in health insurance, and a lot of the things that I need personally medically are not covered. So, yeah, we have a lot of medical bills to pay, and the fact that it's not covered by my mom's insurance from where she works just shows that we need the government to care more about its citizens and their health so that we can remain a good, stable, healthy, working country.
Yeah, I would step in further, but if I did, we'd end up turning this into a whole heated debate that could go all day, and we got other news stories to cover. But on the case of this exact story, I'm gonna have to lean my views more there, because I don't think they should have ruled this unconstitutional. This is clearly a power play by the Republican side, and it's only gonna cause further division, and it's not the right way of removing it. Even though I very much agree that we don't need Obamacare and we should get rid of it, the way that it has gone about is not the way it should have been done.
Okay, so I think we can agree that we should duke it out in Congress and not do this roundabout way of putting it through the courts.
I agree. And then Hannah, I know you're going to be extremely excited to cover story number 4, so I'll read story number 3 if you want to cover story number 4.
Heck yeah.
All right, because I can tell you want to read that one. All right, so story number 3 is that Moscow is setting up military bases in South America across the Caribbean. Right now there's only talks of one, but I could see potentially more. And I would like to say this totally ties into my theory from last week about World War III. Russia is clearly making moves to further threaten the U.S. by setting up military bases closer to our home front. So, Hannah, what do you think about these developments across South America?
Yeah, so, I mean, if our listeners want to go back to last week and hear our kind of spiraling thoughts about World War III, this totally does play into that. And as I was reading this article from Tsarism.com, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but it really just shows how Russia is ready to like go up in arms and just like declare war on the United States. Like, this is really close to where we are. Like, the Caribbean isn't that far from the US, and so I can totally see this escalating or continuing to escalate the conflict into a third world war, and that's a scary thought. And if listeners want to hear me spiral into freaking myself out, go check out last week's podcast, because it was just an amazing conversation that Riley and I had.
And also, this also plays into the idea that Russia has a lot more allies than the rest of the world is wanting to admit. A lot of people just think China and North Korea are their big power allies, but they do have a lot of other nations that have animosity toward more democratic nations. And Venezuela is a good example of that.
Yeah, definitely. I think Venezuela is Russia's way into taking over a lot of allies that we have in the Caribbean and pulling them towards their side.
All right, so Hannah, I know you're ecstatic to talk about this next story, so
Oh, I don't know
go
if I'm
ahead and.
ecstatic. I mean, okay, so Michael Cohen has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for crimes committed while working for Trump, along with others that he committed on his own. So on Wednesday, a federal judge sentenced President Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, to 3 years in prison for financial crimes and lying to Congress. This is from The Washington Post, Matt Zepotsky, and Devlin Barrett on December 12th. So, yeah, Michael Cohen is going to jail for lying to Congress and financial crimes. And if you look into what he was saying to the press after this sentencing, he said that his weakness could be characterized as a blind loyalty to Donald Trump. And he really just turned on President Trump as quickly as he could after this hearing and after his sentencing. Like, he is trying to distance himself so hard from Donald Trump and everything that he has done. Because he was basically saying that, like, Donald Trump ordered him to do this, and then Donald Trump said, no, I didn't. And so there's that back and forth between them as people. But also, I think he's trying to further himself from the entire administration as a whole. So on one hand, glad he's going to prison because he lied to Congress. But also, I really do feel that he was just roped in by Donald Trump to committing all of these crimes. And so part of me feels bad for him because a lot of people do fall for charismatic men and try to do things for them. And I think Michael Cohen was definitely one of them. So, Riley, what's your take on this?
So I want to start by saying the worst part about the 2016 election is the fact that both candidates that got as far as they did were both definitely corrupt people. I don't think anyone can deny that Hillary Clinton was involved in some really shady stuff, as well as Donald Trump. And more as the years have progressed, we've seen that the Republican Party has still not stopped attacking the Democratic Party on this. A lot of stuff still is coming out about them and Hillary Clinton. And to this day, the Democratic Party has not stopped attacking the Republican Party. And we've seen that a lot of stuff is coming out on that side too. So I think this is just another product that we're going to continue to see up until the next election of both sides trying to uncover a lot of the dirty stuff that happened back in 2016. And this is just one of those products of that. Definitely, if Cohen was lying, I'm glad he's in prison. I don't know how valid his claims are about Donald Trump, because it has been seen in the past that Democrats are willing to use money to end up getting what they want, as well as Republicans. I think this is one of the biggest downfalls of the two-party system, is that both don't necessarily care as much about the people as they care about tearing down the other side.
That's an interesting take. Yeah, I mean, if we want to go back all the way to 2016, there were definitely other people who would have been better candidates. But also, I think the claim that Democrats, I definitely think that Democrats aren't trying to, like, attack Donald Trump, but more figure out how he managed to hold such, like, to take such a powerful position while also committing a lot of, maybe not Donald Trump himself, but like his campaign definitely did commit a plethora of crimes, and having their ties to Russia the way that they did definitely shows how Russia did influence our election. But like back to Michael Cohen, I definitely think that his tie into Donald Trump was one where he just made a mistake and he let it just spiral until he ended up getting 3 years in jail. He said it was his own weakness and a blind loyalty to this man, Donald Trump, that led him to choose a path of darkness over light. Time and time again, I felt it was my duty to cover up his dirty deeds. So definitely Cohen did not think this through and just kind of let himself be led into this crime ring that is basically the Trump administration. And it ended him up in a very bad place, being sentenced to 3 years of prison. So yeah. Sorry, Michael Cohen. Make better choices.
Yeah, I think it is pretty awful that people are willing to turn on each other. That even though Cohen got caught, the fact that he lost his loyalty is one problem. And the fact that Trump is denouncing him even after that, though, that's also a problem. Like, the fact of the matter is, if he did screw up, he should own that, right? And Trump should not be attacking him. Even though I am a Republican supporter, I don't support the idea of attacking somebody. I think it's awful that Trump was willing to sit in and attack Cohen after this. I mean, Cohen got in trouble. What happened happened. But the fact that Trump was talking about witch hunt and that he's trying to get his sentence reduced, that's a problem. Trump is just attacking one of his own at that point, and that's exactly what he calls other people out for doing.
Exactly. I think Donald Trump should have stood by Michael Cohen more and kind of owned up to being like, yeah, I had him do this, but also I'm president, so you can't indict me yet, I think is the way that this is going to end up going. I think Donald Trump is at one point going to have to admit that he asked Michael Cohen to pay off Stormy Daniels and the other women who alleged that they had affairs with him. And at that point, he's going to end up before Congress. And B, I don't know if, like, he's going to be impeached, but I definitely think that at this point, it's headed that direction.
I don't think so. I don't think it'll go that far. Again, I think these are more power play set in place by the Democratic Party, that what they're doing right now is they are attacking the Republican Party's character, so when 2020 rolls around, it's easier for the Democrats to win. I think at this point, this late in the game, it's kind of pointless to get Trump impeached. We have an election coming up way sooner than it has in the past. There's less time before the next election than there is that Trump's going to have in power, if that makes sense. I think at this point, they're attacking the character of the Republican Party so they can swoop in and win. Because if they impeach Trump, if they take it all the way to impeachment, let's say in 6 months, at that point, it's too late for them to get what they want. This is more of a power play, in my opinion, to attack the Republican Party's character so they can win the next election.
Yeah, I hope that President Trump isn't the Republican character. Like, even as a Democrat, I hope that Republicans are better than this. Like, throwing their lawyers under the bus and lying for them and having their lawyers lie for them, I hope isn't the character of the Republican Party. I think that this is more an attack on Trump's character, not the Republicans as a whole, because a lot of Republicans are better people than this. And I hope that in 2020, when they're trying to primary Donald Trump, that they move away from what he stands for and the front that he's put up for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm, as a Republican, I'm not the biggest supporter of Trump. At the end of the day, he's our president. I think he's drastically better than Hillary Clinton would have been. But I think on the Democrat side and on the Republican side, I think both sides didn't want either person representing their party in 2016, and it just became a pick of the lesser of two evils. And this is another product of that, that I think in 2020, I hope we can move past all of the stuff that happened in these past 4 years and get a fresh start with brand new candidates that show that they care about the people and aren't as corrupt as the two candidates we had in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, Julian Castro 2020.
I mean, Bernie Sanders, come on. Jill Stein, let's go. Making that comeback.
We can definitely talk about who we want to run in 2020 at a later point, but let's move on to our next article.
Kanye West. Okay. So what recently happened is that people have died eating rice that was contained with some sort of toxic substance in a Hindu temple. This is a weird story, right? Because was this like an action of like bad government regulation? Was this somebody attempting to take out people? Like, there's not a lot of information on this story right now. We just have a death toll and we have people that are sick. So 11 people are dead and there are 93 people that are hospitalized right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is really terrible. Like, this was a religious festival, and people have ended up dead and very ill from this, and I really hope that their families find peace in their loved ones' deaths, even though it was such a terrible tragedy. And I mean, having this be held at a religious festival really just blows my mind. Like, if this was someone trying to actually harm people, then this was honestly the scariest way to do it. I mean, at Hindu temples and Hindu religious festivals, like, having, like, this rice is a major part of that, the same way that having the host at a Catholic mass is a major part of it. And so I hope that this isn't an attack on Hindu people, and that it was just, like, a health oversight, because even as awful And even as awful as it is, it would be a lot more terrible if this was an actual attack. It's just a very scary thought to think about. State Chief Minister H.D. Kumaraswamy expressed grief over the incident and announced a compensation of 500,000 rupees, which is about $7,000, to each of the families of the victims. So I am glad they're getting some sort of recompense for that, but it is such a very scary and terrible event.
Yeah, it's hard to say if this was just bad water, because it said that the water smelled. Like, it could very easily have been bad water. This is not the cleanest place in the world. There are constant actions being taken to kind of clean this area up. But it could have been the fault of the government and just an unclean water supply. While at the same time, it also could have been some sort of attack. It's hard to say, but either way, it's a tragedy nonetheless that these people died this way.
And now, bringing you the hardest-hitting journalism out there, it's time for Breaking News.
And now, here's a funny break from our very dreadful conversation about World War III and those other stories. So, an Alaskan couple caught a moose playing ding-dong ditch at their door. This is from Huffington Post on the 7th of December, 2018. So after the November 30th earthquake in Anchorage, Alaska, a couple was woken up in the middle of the night by a moose ringing their doorbell. They caught it on the camera that they have set up, and they just saw a moose butt outside their door. Riley?
I implore you to look up this news story yourself after you're done listening, because the video is pretty funny. But dang, like, I don't know what to say. Like, what would you do if you woke up and there was a moose outside your door?
I mean, this was so soon after that earthquake in Anchorage that I'm sure they've just been having one after another, like, major life event. Like, a moose outside your door. That is definitely not something that you see in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know if after that, like, I'd be like, an emotional wreck after seeing a moose, like another thing on top of my plate, or after all that, like being like, this is the greatest break I could have gotten from all of this tragedy. So
I don't even think I've seen a moose before.
Yeah. Oh, I want to meet a moose. Support our Patreon and we'll drive up to Alaska and see a moose.
We'll pay us to go see a moose for you.
Yeah, there you go. Our next story is how YouTube Rewind is officially the most disliked video on YouTube, and I think it was only in the course of 2 weeks it accumulated over 10 million dislikes. And this, the article we're reading from was posted like 3 days ago. It's probably way higher right now. I mean, this is interesting because Baby by Justin Bieber held that spot for a long time. And I mean, it kind of makes sense if you've watched the video. It's not really representative of the year at all. Like, I didn't even know half the people in that video, and I'm a no-life who's on YouTube all the time.
Yeah, I'm glad that Justin Bieber gets some respite from being the most hated person on YouTube, but also, Baby did not deserve to be at the bottom of that list. You can quote me on that. Justin Bieber deserves better.
But I don't know if, like, he's made better music. I'm not a huge Bieber, or is it, like, a Belieber?
Yeah, used but, to be I Belieber. Mean,
it wasn't a great song, but I just looked it up. 12 million dislikes right now.
Wow. So. That's all right. Insane. YouTube, be better, is I think the takeaway from this. Okay, and finally, our last story of our breaking news segment is that AI news anchor made a debut in China. So in China, they have decided to replace one of their news anchors with a robot, with an AI, an artificial intelligence. And you should go look up this video, because this robot person just has no emotion. Like, he looks so real. Like, I didn't realize that this was the AI anchor, but he looks like a person, but he just has no emotion. And that's so weird.
I love how uncanny the voice is. Like, it sounds like I'm talking to like a less enthusiastic Siri.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting though, like AI is getting way further. I mean, this seems kind of unnecessary, but I guess there are benefits to this because it means faster live news, right? You don't have to have an anchor come in. You don't have to get an entire show set up. You can have one or two people at a computer set this up in a matter of seconds to get news out faster.
Yeah, I just feel like news anchors should have some sort of personality. Like, your local news anchor that you watch on the 6 o'clock news should be, like, a relatable person. And this robot just isn't that. But I love the idea of just AI robots that look like people just ending up, like, in our everyday lives to the point where we don't even recognize them as robots. Like, that's peak future. It's just we are inundated with robots and we can't tell who's a person anymore.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Okay, so this has been our breaking news segment, a nice respite from a crazy week in politics.
Time to see if our hosts have been paying attention to the news. It's time for our current events quiz. I'll ask a question. The hosts will have 20 seconds to come up with an answer, and then we'll see who's right. Everybody ready? Let's go. Hello, listeners. It is Rod, the producer, and I'm back for another current events quiz segment, as you heard in the intro. You got all the rolls down and everything. And as per usual, the 20 seconds of waiting time will be cut out from our end recording, so you will not hear the waiting time. It'll go straight from question to answer. All right. Now, let's look here. Our first question today, firstly, is, are you guys ready?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So, our first real question is, which nation is cracking down on rap? You have 20 seconds. All right, everyone, your time is up. So, which nation is cracking down on rap? Hannah, we'll go to you first.
It's Russia.
All right, and Riley.
China.
All right, it is in fact Russia.
Darn, that was my other
alarmed
option.
Alarmed by the growing popularity of rap among Russian youth, President Vladimir Putin wants cultural leaders to devise a means of controlling rather than banning the popular music. Quote, if it is impossible to stop, he said in St. Petersburg meeting with cultural advisors Saturday, then we must lead it and direct it, end quote. But Putin said that attempts to ban artists from performing will have an adverse effect and bolster their popularity. Putin is particularly concerned with drug themes prevalent in rap, saying, quote, this is a path to the degradation of the nation, end quote. So, there you go. Russia is cracking down on music.
I just need everyone to picture, like, the Vladimir Putin without a shirt on top of a bear that he puts out in those calendars, and just imagine that guy singing rap music. That's a lovely image. I need everyone to think about that. Like, close your eyes and just picture shirtless Vladimir Putin on a bear singing rap music.
I'll Photoshop it and make it the thumbnail.
I think you've just lost us about 100 listeners, Hannah.
I'm going to Photoshop that and change that to the official bipartisan logo.
Oh, no. Please don't. All right. Our next question is, this is a fun one. And it's a multiple part answer, meaning that you guys will actually give three answers. And due to the nature of this question, they don't have to be the exact things I've written down, but just the general gist. And here's the question. What were the top phrases Trump, Pelosi, and Schumer each said during their meeting earlier this week? And we'll be talking about this more in our feature story today. But for now, you guys have 20 seconds to answer again. What were the top phrases Trump, Pelosi, and Schumer each said during their meeting? You will answer one phrase per person. 20 seconds starts now. All right, 20 seconds is up. Riley, we will go to you first. What is your answer?
Fake news.
You're supposed to give three.
Oh, all three? Oh, I thought we were going to go one at a time. Sorry. I'm going to go fake.
It's okay. So Trump's number one, you say, is fake news.
Yes. I'm going to say wrong was in there at some point. And finally.
Okay. What about Pelosi?
I'm going to say get Putin on the phone.
Okay. So I'm going to say Donald Trump's was just no. Chuck Schumer's was Mr. President, dot, 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 and then whatever he was going to say. And then Nancy Pelosi was, look at my cool jacket and, like, super cool sunglasses.
Well, these are all valid and well, not valid. These are all interesting answers from both of you. But let's start off with Pelosi. So, Pelosi's most used phrase was, let's not do this in front of the media. Trump's most used phrase was, we need the wall. And Schumer's most used phrase was, you want to shut down the government.
Yikes.
And those are less fun than the ones we talked about.
They are less fun, but I think they characterize each person pretty well.
Yes, I have so much to say about this later. It's going to be so much fun.
All right, looking forward to that. And for now, unfortunately, we do not have a third question on today's show, so we'll just leave it at that. Thank you all again, and next we'll be back after a short break from some of our sponsors.
Before we get into this next segment, another thank you to our wonderful sponsors for sponsoring this week. And before we continue moving on with the rest of the podcast, let's get into three other smaller stories. So this first one is that Dutch is working on building artificial islands. A statistic says that 26% of the land in this country is below sea level. So what the Dutch are doing right now is they are working on building islands out of sand in order to make some of that under sea level land more inhabitable for their people. What do you think about this, Hannah?
I think this is a really great idea and a great way to bring some of their wildlife back to being able to live in the Netherlands. A quote from this article says that the Dutch tend to say, God created the world, but the Dutch created the Netherlands. And I think that's a really great way to characterize this, that they're doing their best to work with what God and the earth has given them and make it more inhabitable for people and wildlife. And I think that's a really great idea, and that other countries who are below sea level should take into consideration.
Yeah, definitely. It is nice to see that, you know, they're making this land habitable for their people and attempting to bring wildlife into it. So I just think overall, in a time where a lot of stories are either toxic or there's a bad side to it, something just as nice and wholesome is good to take a look at.
Definitely. Speaking of being underwater, there is a high surf warning for Bay Area beaches, with waves expected to reach 50 feet. So this is in San Francisco. So there is a high surf warning from Sunday morning to Monday night, with waves breaking between 25 to 46 feet down the Bay Area coastline. So they are warning a lot of surfers and other people who live around the Bay Area to stay away from the beaches, because even just walking on the sand could lead to you being up to chest level in the water.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely scary to think about, but I mean, at the end of the day, right? Like, it's their people's fault for walking over there. I mean, especially if the government's going to end up making this a widely known concern, at that point, it's just go at your own risk.
Yeah, I know a lot of surfers like to ride those really high waves, but that's dangerous, and don't do it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Be careful, because this is scary to think about, especially for surfers. This is very much a at your own risk thing. At that point, it's not the government's fault. It's your fault if you do this. So just be careful when you're out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Hannah.
Hey, Riley.
Do you want to make this a 3-for-3 water-based other news story?
Yeah.
Because the United States Navy is going to end up stop docking their ships in Hefei after China takes over the port. And again, I think this even further contributes to my World War III idea. The tensions between multiple nations are growing right now. Within 2021, the United States should be out of this port because China is working on a deal with Israel. And it's definitely interesting to see that, you know, Israel is now allying with China rather than the U.S., and that this is going to cause some changes for the United States Navy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, the more we talk about this World War III idea, and the more we see other countries aligning themselves with Russia, China, and North Korea, the more real it becomes, and the more these everyday news stories end up tying into that really scary idea.
Yeah, definitely. Hannah, we still have like 30 minutes left on this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting really tired. I could use some coffee right now.
Well, attention all coffee lovers. If you love coffee, you hate crony capitalism, and you love small businesses, then Anarcho Coffee is right for you.
That's right, Hannah. Anarcho Coffee sells sustainably and ethically grown craft coffee at affordable prices, as well as some swag for lovers of the brand.
That's right. Anarcho Coffee is the premier coffee for those who support true capitalism, not cronyism. And you can get up to 10% off your first order with code ANCAP2018. That's ANCAP2018.
And you know where you can find them? At anarchocoffee.com. That's ANARCHOCOFFEE.com. They accept all major cryptocurrencies in addition to dollars. Ancora Coffee, self-governed caffeine. And I don't know if that includes Bitcoin, but all you Bitcoin lovers better get out there and buy some coffee.
Definitely.
It's time for the Bipartisanship Update, presented by the Bipartisan Podcast.
And next up, we have our Bipartisanship Update. So, good news this week. The Bipartisan Farm Bill is soon to be passed. The 2018 Farm Bill, which President Trump is expected to sign soon, is an important and welcome development for farmers who have been buffeted by trade wars, falling commodity prices, and generally uncertain futures. This is from the Winona Daily News, the Star Tribune editorial board. So the Farm Bill includes a plethora of things first of all, it legalized hemp. So we're going to have to talk about that in a minute. But it does also include provisions to reduce inaccurate payments and slightly increase funding for work training in connection with SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that replaced food stamps. So, Riley, how do you think this is going to affect our bipartisan ideas?
I think it's fantastic because at the end of the day, right, this really stays out of a lot of different political arguments. This is just people attempting to grow their communities and help their fellow people out beside the political differences we have. I think that by signing this bill, it helps and hurts neither party, and it's a very bipartisan-based bill to pass.
Definitely. I think this is a really great way to end the 2018 news cycle, is helping our farmers and helping the people who do work probably the hardest to sustain daily Americans and their daily lives.
Yeah, and this also encourages more local food to be put out, and it definitely helps for a lot of people that enjoy eating local food, people that enjoy putting it out there, people that use this as a source of living. I think this is just going to benefit small communities and not really affect anything on a major political level, but just benefit the people. This is definitely a really wholesome story that is to help a lot of the people more than the government.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about the legalization of hemp, probably the largest part of this bill?
I mean, the thing about it is I'm kind of indifferent to hemp, right? It's not the biggest deal to me if it gets passed or if it isn't, but I know a lot of people care. But definitely, I think it's great for farmers.
Yeah, hemp will become a legal agricultural commodity and be removed from the federal controlled substances list. It does not legalize marijuana. Here's a caveat. It doesn't legalize the use of marijuana, either medicinally or recreationally. It just means that it could happen because hemp is now legal in the United States.
Yeah, I think it's overall a good thing. I don't think anyone that doesn't like hemp is going to freak out. I think it's just kind of one of those smaller political issues that we're not going to see a huge shift over now that this has been passed.
Yeah, so good job, bipartisanship. Woo! Working towards a better, more helpful United States Congress.
All right, listeners, again, here I am, Rod the producer, here to moderate today's awesome discussion. which is on what might be a pretty controversial topic, tariffs. Now, before any of you start screaming at your phone or your car about why tariffs are good or bad, we're going to look at it from a bipartisan way, getting both of our hosts' opinions on it, and also look more into the economics of tariffs and what exactly they do, stuff like that. So, my first question to both of you are, what are tariffs, to your knowledge?
Okay, Hannah, so you tariffs can take this one first. Are like a tax or a duty, which are put imports and exports.
It's a very basic definition, but yeah, tariffs are put on other countries to help limit their economy by taxing imports and exports. It's used a lot of times by other nations to attempt to hurt another nation's economy.
Right, in layman's terms, if a tariff is put, if here in the United States, a tariff is put on Russian wood planks, then the price of Russian wood planks would go up in the United States because there's an additional tax on it. It's like a sales tax, but for foreign, an additional sales tax for foreign goods. So now that we have what tariffs are out of the way, according to our hosts, what is the purpose of tariffs? Riley, you take this one first.
So I think tariffs are to incentivize people from their countries to buy locally because it makes the prices from buying it foreignly more expensive. So it also helps to discourage many foreign nations from selling that product to another country. And as we've seen with the United States-Chinese trade war, it is being used to attempt to entirely cut the other out of the other's economies.
And Hannah, what is the purpose of tariffs in your opinion?
Yeah, so I think the purpose of tariffs is to promote things produced in the United States, but also kind of as a retaliatory device to harm the economies of other countries.
All right. And in both of your opinions, do they achieve that purpose? Hannah, go first.
So I don't think so. I think that the idea of tariffs is like a logical one, but in practice, it really ends up becoming a trade war like we've seen between the United States and China. It's good to promote like locally produced goods, but I think there are better ways to do it besides us directly harming another country's economy, because that will only lead repercussions in our own country.
I think it depends on the good being traded, because there are some times where the good is more valuable in that country. So, for example, China has a massive steel industry, and it's hard to get steel from a lot of other nations. So it definitely goes on a good-by-good basis to where, sure, they can tariff that one country, but if they're the only country selling that thing in mass amounts, it's not going to matter. It definitely depends on the good being traded.
And in both of your opinions, why and how, in response to the previous question, do they achieve that purpose? Hannah, you said no. Riley, you said it depends. And so, Riley, you go first now. Why and how? Go ahead.
Well, like I said, it depends on the good. So it can, if that good is something that is commonly available or that is available somewhere else for cheaper. So if we look at oil, if they put tariffs on different Middle Eastern nations, that means from Europe, we could just buy oil from Europe without the tariffs being put on them. So it depends on what that country is selling and if they are the only country selling said product.
All right, and Hannah, why and how, in your opinion, do tariffs not work?
Okay, so I think tariffs don't work because of how it affects like the citizens of each country. Like, each country is going to do their best to defend their own economy and the well-being of their citizens. So if someone put a tax on us, on our goods, then we would obviously not like that, and we would put a tariff on their goods. And they're just going to go back and forth increasing those tariffs until nobody can buy anything. So I think that the spiral into a trade war is a lot quicker than most other things, than most people would think, because it's all about retaliation and making sure your country's economy stays at a good level and that your citizens can like buy exports from other countries. Because as people become more wealthy in a country, they tend to import more goods. I'm trying to remember my AP macroeconomic skills. So if you're taking AP macroeconomics, this is a very complicated and interesting topic. So the foreign exchange market. So yeah, I think that tariffs aren't good because it all comes down to how best you can protect your own country and your own economy, and you'll do whatever it takes to make sure that your goods are able to be exported to other countries and to, yeah.
All right. And overall, are tariffs good, bad, or a mix of both? Riley?
I think it's a mix of both. Again, depends on the good that is being traded. It also serves that, I kind of disagree with Hannah, because the thing about it is, if you are trying to shut out another country from making money off of your country, you can still trade with your allies as long as you're careful about what you're tariffing on that nation. So I think it could be a mix of both. Definitely it can spiral out of control like we've seen with the US-Chinese trade war, but a lot of times tariffs help to limit other countries from becoming dangerous or getting out of hand.
And Hannah, are tariffs good, bad, or a mix of both?
So I'm gonna say that tariffs are bad because it really limits the ability of free trade, like on the global market. Like, sure, we can look at it from like a country to country basis, and like sometimes it does help your individual country. But if you think about it on the worldwide scale and how we can like make our world better instead of just country by country, then it is bad because we don't have that ability to have a free trade market with other countries.
All right, thank you both for that amazing discussion on tariffs. And next up is our feature story.
All right, our feature story is another Battle Royale game coming out. It is Trump, Pelosi, and Schumer's recent conversation in the Oval Office, where all three ended up acting like children trying to yell over one another rather than actually have a ruled-out debate where they actually discussed issues, but everyone tried to play their power and yell above the other. And as well, Vice President apparently did not say a single word in this debate at all. So Hannah, what do you think about what was discussed, as well as how our political leaders ended up acting?
I mean, if you watched this meeting, it was just embarrassing. Like, they were, like you said, they were all trying to yell over each other. And obviously, like, this was Nancy Pelosi's time to shine. Honestly, like, as a Democrat, I have, like, so much more respect for her after this meeting. Like, as we talked about in our quiz, she was just trying to keep Donald Trump from embarrassing himself. Like, she was just like, let's not do this in front of the media. Let's, like, be civil. Let's talk about things that are important to the nation. But Donald Trump was just like, we need the wall and we need a government shutdown. And Chuck Schumer was like, no, are you crazy? Government shutdowns are bad. And he basically like had Donald Trump own up to the fact that he wanted to shut down the government so he could get the wall. And that's not a thing that you do when you're president and you have control of the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. Like, you don't say, yes, I want a government shutdown, because so many Americans are hurt by that. And the fact that Chuck Schumer was able to pull Donald Trump into saying he wanted to shut down the government was just an amazing testament to how out of control this whole thing was. And Mike Pence just sitting there did not help him at all. Like, Mike Pence was just, he looked like a rag doll. Like, he was just there for a prop. And honestly, everyone needs to go watch at least part of this meeting, because it was just terrible.
Yeah, I think Pence should have either stepped in and helped Trump reason out what he was talking about, like bring a more reasonable stance on what he was discussing and their ideas, or at least have backed up what the president was saying. But the fact that he just sat there, it's like you're not really helping or hurting anyone. Like, there's zero point in you even being there. You didn't serve to kind of help bring a more reasonable stance that aligns with most Republicans' views, right? Because Trump, in a lot of ways, blows things out of proportion and doesn't necessarily represent the whole of Republican views. While Pence is a bit more tame on what he discusses, like, Pence could have gone in and had said, hey, Trump, calm down. This, this, and this is the solution to the problem that you want a more radical solution to. Or he could have even stepped in and just fully supported the president, but he just sat there. Like, he could have been a moderate. He could have done something. That's what baffles me the most. I expect this out of our political leaders at this point, to have, like, unmonitored, unruled discussions, because it's been happening since the 2016 election. But the fact that, like, the vice president pulled no part in this, like, that's the most shocking to me, that he wasn't at least someone yelling. He just did nothing. He didn't try and civilize them. He didn't try and yell over them. He just sat there.
Yeah, like, the fact that they did this, like, in front of cameras is just mind-boggling. Like, it's one thing to have this behind closed doors and to duke this out left versus right, but to do it with the cameras rolling, like, live on TV is just embarrassing. I can't imagine what other countries are thinking about our political leadership right now.
Yeah, like, if they were going to have this in front of cameras, they should have at least gotten some sort of moderator, made it more official, made it more kind of cleaned up. But, like, they did it in front of cameras and had no one to monitor them. Like, they should have put someone in place to keep everyone in check and make sure that the public got what each candidate was saying and not, like, this whole jumbled mess. Because it's really hard to decipher what they were talking about, what each side wants, and what was really the result of this, because they were all screaming over one another that it was really hard to see if anything got done at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, as a, like, woman on the left, watching Nancy Pelosi walk out of that meeting was just like seeing a beam of light come down from heaven. Honestly, like, she had on this really cool jacket, which, like, put back in stock on their website because she wore it in front of the cameras, and had these, like, big sunglasses. She just looked like the epitome of a boss woman, and I think that Nancy Pelosi deserves all the hype that Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets.
Yeah, I just think that this was, like, a huge jumbled mess. Like, I don't think that there was any real result by the end of this. It just felt like a tremendous waste of time to watch it, to be a part of it. It seemed like nothing really got done, and it was just political leaders yelling over one another.
Yeah, it just furthered how big the divide is in our country, and how each side wants something different.
Also, I do very much appreciate how Mike Pence hit the mute button the entire time.
Yeah.
So...
okay. All right. We can hope for better.
But yes. So I think that's going to wrap up our podcast for the week. So you guys can find us on Stitcher, YouTube, and almost every other platform. We're still trying to get ourselves up on Apple Podcasts. Or no, are we on Apple Podcasts?
We are on Apple Podcasts.
We are on Apple Podcasts, aren't we? My bad. You can find us on almost every single platform out there. Check our websites for new updates, schedules, and more. You can go to sites.google.com/view/bppodcast.com for more information. You can contact us at bipartisanpodc1 on Twitter. You can email us at bipartisanpodcast@gmail.com. You can call 619-201-0964. Or you can support us on Patreon for perks at patreon.com/bipartisanpodcast. And if you're interested in sponsoring us, call or email us today. Come back next week for your independent source of news, fun, and reform. I've been Riley.